Siyagodola man, this aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a shape.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come in?
Point of order.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome again to another edition of Sunday Times Politics Weekly. With me, Amil Amrao. I'm joined in the studio this week by my politics colleagues, Apiwe de Klerk, Zimasa Matiwane, and Zingisa Mvumvu. Thank you guys so much for joining me this week. We've got a lot to talk about, including some of our election coverage, which is going to be focusing on the question of land expropriation without compensation, which I think is one of the most heated debates in South Africa leading up to elections this year. All starting from the ANC's national conference in 2017, and moving on from there, the EFF taking it to Parliament to amend the constitution. But before we get there, let's talk about one of the important stories that on Sunday Times this past week. And the headline reads, Madonsela helped prep Zuma for top job. Now, of course, we're talking about former public protector Thuli Madonsela, who was one of Zuma's biggest detractors when she was in office. Let's read some of the story. It's by Ranjani Munsami. Former public protector Thuli Madonsela was part of an elite team of advisors who drew up a blueprint for former President Jacob Zuma's government before 2009. Now, SACP Deputy General Secretary Sodi Mapaela will be among the witnesses who's going to the state capture inquiry to testify about this elite group, who he says is called the engine room that gave extensive advice to Zuma about the structure and policy direction of his government ahead of the 2009 elections. Now, how important is this story, Zingisa? Because we have almost an icon of accountability in South Africa, being Thuli Madonsela, who sort of went firsthand against Zuma, who was that first sort of light out of the tunnel. Yeah. And now we hear that she sort of helped him get into the power in first place. What do you think, Zingisa?
Yeah, well, personally, I mean, I'm not completely shocked by this. I mean, knowing that Thuli, it's no secret that she is a comrade before being an advocate, and before she became the public protector, she was heavily involved in COSATU issues, I think, in the early 90s. She's always been part of the broader alliance, you know, tripartite alliance. So I'm not surprised by her involvement in this. But of course, I mean, as you say, it sort of brings a spanner in the works, knowing that she was actually the one who brought about, if we can put it that way, Zuma's downfall. But personally, my feelings, personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with such a panel. That's just my personal belief. If you are to become a president and you consult people who are experts in particular areas to advise you, unless, of course, if, for instance, on policy, I don't know what kind of advice they were giving on policy, but I would like to assume it was not policies that were in opposition of ANC policy. I would like to believe maybe, I don't know, I don't really have the details now, that maybe it was to advise how best can we implement the ANC policy. I doubt it would be policies that are in contradiction with the ANC. Of course, if that is the case, then there's something wrong with this particular
issue. It's not out of the ordinary that a president or president-in-waiting will consult with various sectors on how he should handle himself ahead of an election, or how he should handle policies for his party. These consultations are always done. But Zimasa, should this detract away from who Thuli Madonsela is and who we see her as a person in the fight against state capture?
No, actually it shouldn't. I don't even see why it would even detract us. I mean, Thuli has an impeccable career. She has a clean record of forcing accountability on this former president of ours. She's one of the people who were involved in drafting our constitution. I mean, she knows the law. I don't think there was anything sinister with her being in this think tank that helped prop up Zuma for us. Maybe Zuma would have been a worse disaster if people like her were not.
They could have been better for the country. You know.
So unless the SACP, so Thuli Madonsela, comes here and proves to us that this policy making that he says shifted from the ANC to this unknown, you know, secret system that involved, unless he comes and proves that it was to the detriment of the country, then honestly, I do not see the problem. And you can't even say Thuli was rewarded with the public protector position, you know, because we know how you get to that seat. You know, Zuma doesn't have supreme powers. This is not a dictatorship. There is a process that is followed. And until this story, everyone thinks she did a great job, you know, so.
In fact, we still think she did a great job. This story doesn't change anything,
you know, for me. So.
Okay, let's move on to the big topic of the day. And as part of our election coverage heading up to the elections in May, we're going to talk about land expropriation without compensation. If you remember, it was in Nasrec where the ANC took the resolution to start the process to amend Section 25 of the Constitution to allow for land expropriation without compensation. And that caused massive hysteria along some sectors of society. Some people, I think, are just very unsure about what the party means to do. And that's causing a bit of animosity. And some people think it's not good enough. Some people, I'm talking about the EFF, who say it's not far enough. We need to nationalize land into the control of the state. But let's talk about the ANC's plan first. Let's listen to what the ANC is planning to do.
The African National Congress has fought to undo a grave historical injustice and give effect to what the Freedom Charter set out, that land must be shared amongst those who work it. In this manifesto, we outline elements of a plan to accelerate land reform, making use of a range of complementary measures, including, where appropriate, expropriation of land without compensation. We will continue to promote a range of land ownership forms, public, private, cooperative, family and communal. We will implement measures to promote urban agriculture and community food gardens. Our approach to land reform is guided by our constitution and by the need to advance economic development as well as economic agricultural production as well as food security.
Now, I remember last year the ANC released a report on the outcomes of its Nasrec findings or outcomes. And according to the report, there were caveats into introducing land expropriation or compensation. It must be rolled out in a manner that strengthens the agricultural sector, improves economic growth, and meaningfully addresses inequality and employment. It must not endanger food security. I don't know if you remember Ramaphosa saying that. And it must not undermine future investment in the economy. So they're basing this policy on three elements: increased security of tenure, land restitution, and land redistribution. Just to get in some context here, to perform this, the ANC has decided to prioritize the redistribution of vacant, unused, and underutilized state land, as well as land held for speculation and hopelessly indebted land. So this means that land is not being used at the moment, land that the state owns, so they're going to start there. Afterwards, active measures will be put in place to drive land redistribution, such as the land tax, support for black farmers, and preferential allocation of water rights and infrastructure provisions to black farmers. So there is sort of a plan here from the ANC. But my question is, this has been the ANC's policy since 1940, 1950s, even before. What have they been doing all this time? And now that it's become a massive talking point, mostly because of the EFF, the ANC wants to jump onto this and say that, no, we can do this. And the argument is that Section 25 of the Constitution already allows for it to happen. Now they want it to happen more exclusively. Is it enough, Apiwe?
Firstly, I feel that the only reason that the ANC decided at its conference to take this route to amend Section 25 is solely because they want to bring back the support that they are losing to parties like the EFF, to groupings like the PLF. The land issue from them. They are politicizing it. They're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart, if I would use that phrase. They are doing it solely because they want votes. The people who are in charge of the ANC now have been prominent in the party for the longest of time. I mean, the current president, after they took over power, he was the secretary general. He should have, I mean, when you hold such a position, you are in at a place where you can advance such arguments and whatnot. That's what I believe. Plus, the party's track record in power, they've had budgets. They've been fumbling, man, in land redistribution. A lot of claimants have been complaining that it's taking too long. Secondly, the role of the ANC government in advising these people when they eventually get their farms, if they do, you know, it's been very sloppy. A number of these farms have been given back to farmers or their rightful owners, only to not be given support and whatnot. We know the shenanigans with the land bank and so on. So since 94, they've never really shown true commitment to bringing back the land, either for the purposes of agriculture or for the purposes of, business, housing and all that. They have not been innovative enough in advising the claimants and so on. So I seriously do believe that they are just doing this because they are trying to fend off the EFF.
So listen, this is where all the problems stem from. If you guys remember a land audit from the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform a couple of years ago, it found that black South Africans, who make up 79% of our population, only own 1.2% of the total rural land and 7% of the formal property in cities. But there was another report done afterwards by AgriSA, which is our largest agricultural union, and they found something completely different. They found that black citizens own 26.7% of agricultural ground and control more than 46% of South Africa's agricultural potential. So we've got two conflicting land reports. We don't actually know who owns what in this country, to be honest. So how do we start making policy from there, Zengiso?
Well, Zim, you can go.
We don't know who controls what, but I think we have an idea.
Of course.
You know. So firstly, we need to establish that land was taken from indigenous people of this country through wars and all the atrocities that come.
I don't think anybody can deny that.
So land has been used as a catalyst to drive and to maintain agricultural monopolies. What I would like to hear from the ANC is not a plan of, in the cities you can plant a vegetable garden in your balcony. What I want to hear is a complete overhaul of the structural ownership of agricultural land, dismantle the monopolies, bring in black people into that space. That is how we ensure that there is food security, if we do proceed with land expropriation without compensation. Because the people that own the food that we all eat, we know what land is monopolized in a couple of few families, you know, especially agricultural land. So if they say, okay, take your land, buy, what are we going to eat? So the ANC needs to restructure and bring in black farmers into the system before they say expropriation without compensation.
Also, you see, also with me, I mean, as far as the ANC is concerned, I mean, just going to the clip that we played earlier of the president during the a manifesto launch of the ANC. I also have a problem with ANC that seeks to suggest that land is only important for agricultural purposes. Even their resolution in Nazareth, speaking about how this should not disturb food security and all that, they always like confining it. I mean, the president there also in the clip is saying that the land must be shared among those who work it, which, you know, that's one provision of the Freedom Charter that, as far as I'm concerned, is absolute nonsense. I don't agree with that. Who works? What do you? How do you determine who works the land? So are you meaning that only farm workers are entitled to land because they work it? I mean, I'm not a farmer, but I want to have a stake in the land,
of course,
that we have in the country, you know. So land is for many things. I mean, I can want land, that vacant land next to our building here, if I want to start.
Nice.
Yeah, I've already spotted it. That is prime land. Man. In fact, if that thing comes to be, that's the land I'm going to put in here. If I want to take that land, I mean, and start whatever that I want to start there, if it's business or I want to build a complex where you fellows going to come and pay rent to me as your landlord, it's my baby, you know. So that thing of trying to, that's what I have. The ANC is obsessed with limiting it to agricultural land, and that's not what this is all about. This is about business, land for business purposes, land for residential purposes, land for farming. Yes, farming is very crucial. Also, this underlines that you always put not disturb food security, not disturb future investment. You are putting undertones that seek to suggest that black people or the indigenous people of the land are chaotic people, in that when they have the land, agriculture is going to fail. When they have the land, investors are not going to come. Who said that? I mean, that on its own is very problematic for me. So I have a problem with the language that the ANC speaks as such, as you said, because they haven't done anything since coming into power, even before that. I don't believe that they are the people to be trusted on this issue.
Actually, on the food security issue, I feel personally it is important that we emphasize and re-emphasize it, that whatever we do, food security, we saw what happened in Zimbabwe.
Chief, this is not Zimbabwe. What's wrong with you?
But when we do it, I'm not saying, look, black South Africans have been farming for the longest
ages,
of time.
Chief.
It doesn't...
Before 1652, they were farming.
We were farming, yeah. And there was food security.
It doesn't necessarily mean... we've seen what has happened in Zimbabwe. We ought to learn from that. That doesn't necessarily mean that we must not...
expropriate.
But what are you saying? But what I'm saying is that when we are expropriating, how we go about it in terms of the land... is where you grow food, right?
Yes.
But from there are other processes, aspects, yeah, which lead to the food being on your plate.
Hence, mm-hmm, I'm saying restructure the agricultural monopolies that produce food. So that we don't starve if these people decide to leave.
I'm saying it's important that when we do change that section, you emphasize and you put in measures that are going to ensure that when I go to the shop, hey, chief, I want my pap.
Of course.
So that's all I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying.
And I understand the point that the ANC is making, that whatever is done, whichever route you follow, don't disturb food security.
We know that.
Apart from agriculture, and there is also the issue of mining that, yes, I feel is missing a lot from the ANC. So, mining legislation and practices were used to dispossess mining communities of their land, and they have never benefited from the minerals and the resources that come out of their land. They were just pushed out. So, just like the agricultural aspect of land, change the legislation of mining, change the practices, so that when land is expropriated, the people benefit. The country benefits, but the people who are dispossessed also, I feel like they are owed
some sort of reparations.
A lot by these multinationals.
True.
So you people want to disturb the mining companies when we have the Smari of the Nation being a miner.
Okay, let's move on to a more radical stance from the EFF, who says that expropriation of land without compensation is not just good enough for them. They want it to be in total control of the state. Let's listen to the EFF.
Our argument here for and against should be based on substantive issues and not on numbers. Once you rush to numbers, it means you have run out of ideas. And therefore, it's a blue lie from those who come from a blue party to say majority of people who participated in public hearings said they don't want a constitutional amendment. In a hearings where I participated, majority of our people agreed that we should amend the constitution because It must give them access to land to resolve inequality, unemployment, landlessness, and poverty that is found amongst our people. All of us should make one observation that not a single white person supported amendment of Section 25. And therefore, ours is not a class division, it's a racial division. Not a single one. So the South African national question has got nothing to do with class. First and foremost, it has got everything to do with race. And whites do not want the land to be released because that is what they regard as their privilege, and that we must continue to be subjected to landlessness.
Okay, I've got a few things to say about Julius's little statement there. Firstly, yes. I attended most, if not all, of the land hearings in Gauteng.
Yes.
And when he said that not one white person was in support of land expropriation without compensation, I agree with that. Yeah. There were at least five that I can remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But what they did say in some of those arguments were that we must do it properly, and they sort of highlighted how, yes, there was a majority that did say, no, we don't support it because.
Mm.
However, my other issue with the public hearings that Julius is talking about is that I felt at some stage that it was hijacked by political parties.
Yes.
Because you had people appearing in certain regalia, either EFF, DA, ANC, AfriForum, or someone else, clearly representing a certain organization and their views in their numbers, who were bussed in there for a certain reason to create a view. I don't know whether in that space the voice of South Africa was lost. Maybe it was represented through the parties.
Mm-hmm.
But let's leave that up here. On to you.
No, you see, the public hearings in their nature, they are like that.
Mm.
And the other thing about public hearings is that they are not a referendum.
Of course.
So but secondly, the process now goes to the next parliament. We don't know the dynamics of who's going to come back with what numbers. So you may find that after the next parliament, we don't amend Section 25, despite...
It's possible, hey?
Yeah, it's very possible.
Despite...
I think for me, and the EFF and the whole idea of nationalization of the land,
mm-hmm.
is that I don't completely trust our state. If our state had more integrity, I would have all the faith in the world to nationalize our land and put it in the hands of somebody who can do something with it. But the state has not proven to me that it can be trusted.
Absolutely.
And that it won't hand out this land to people who are connected to the state.
Absolutely.
So many hands are going up.
Yeah. Everybody wants to.
But you cut me off. I was
no,
making my
not
point.
Cut off, man. You were off tune. Let me bring you back to tune. Wait.
No. Wait. I had not gone to...
Okay. Go to your point quickly, sir, before I lose my point.
So the EFF, the only disagreement you have and a lot of people have is that it must be owned by the state.
Mm.
And we tend to take the capabilities of the state now and assume that 10 years from now, they would not have improved.
Mm.
And as such, we must not change things based on what we see now. I mean, in future, say 10 years from now, Tuma Mina and his new don would have worked in the administration of the land might be very smooth and uncorrupt.
So when Nelson Mandela left government, could we have said that 10 years from after Mandela, that the state was going to be as credible as it was then? Things got worse, arguably. So what happens now if things get worse 10 years down the line? It could work the opposite way around.
I mean, let me come in there. You see, me, I agree with you on that particular point. I don't agree with the state owning the land for the same reasons that you've pointed out. Actually, we even have references now where, because EFF always likes to throw around examples to say everywhere else land is nationalized and all that. But we also have examples of how it has become chaotic for people that it was meant to benefit because it controls the state. I always like the example of Tanzania where land is nationalized. There's a whole community of people there, a couple of millions, who were given land that belonged to them. But because of this nationalization, which, as the EFF is suggesting, because Tanzania is having it exactly the way EFF is suggesting, in that now you must apply to the state and state the reasons for which you want to use the land for. So if someone more powerful and with deeper pockets come to the state, a developer, and say, like it happened in Tanzania, in this community, you go, you say, they're doing some gaming, ranging, whatever, in that land, they remove those people because they don't even have the money to take that fight on for the legal battle and all that. You have multinationals that will just come and bulldoze their way. In fact, it's happening here next door in Zimbabwe now, where people are being pushed off their land because the state has the power to determine who it gives it to. And the state, this whole thing that, I don't know, state is people, and people are corrupt, you know. at least that is one thing that has been proven now. It's people in politics. Therefore, me, I will never agree with anything that says that the state must handle the land and I must go and stay to the state. For instance, that piece of land next door that I say I want, I don't want the state to be the one telling me what to do with it. I will decide what to do with it. So EFF, in terms of the political language on the land issue, they make all the right sounds, but I have a problem with that part of their approach, which is nationalizing land. No.
So South Africa is a strong constitution. We have strong institutions, Chapter 9 institutions. The EFF is proposing a land ombudsman of some sort. Mm. We have everything right on paper, most things right on paper. What we are yet to realize is a better life for all. Mm. And a better life for all starts with land reform. Mm. It starts with land expropriation without compensation. It starts with benefiting the people who are dispossessed of land. So if you guys are saying that we cannot trust government with custodianship of the land, I understand, because you know what, we've had terrible experiences with our past presidents. But what is the solution? How should this thing be done?
No, I'm saying, me, Zim, I'm saying expropriate land without compensation, but protect private property rights. In that, when I have said, the state, like after the expropriation, me and my family, they've decided that the land next door is our land, then it's up to us. It's our land for life and for generations and generations, and we decide what we do with that
20
land.
Years.
You know, because these guys are saying now they're going to listen to you and then they're going to redetermine what happens. I mean, there now, the private property rights are no longer respected. You have no certainty what is going to happen. If the state, for some whatever reason that they develop hate against you, after that lease runs out, they say, actually, no, we think a different purpose for this land must be, established. And then you move to another place.
Agree or disagree with my point. There's zoning, right? So council has power to do zoning. If it says this is for residential purposes,
yes,
there must be an application then that goes to council as to why it must be rezoned.
Yeah.
So if the land is, or say it's given to councils, that as council we are the ones who are going to say we agree, we disagree with you owning this piece of land next door. But they will zone it. If it's for residential purposes, they won't just kick you out. Because they are those.
No, but what is this reapplication at the end of the list?
But if you've owned a garage there for 50 years in China, I mean.
No, but why should I reapply?
And then there must be a competition. So if you feel that.
Here's my issue with property ownership. I'm speaking from a perspective of a poor black person, ne?
Are you poor?
I'm very poor, I'm China. Poor, you know. You know. So, let's say I were to get a bond, ne?
Yes.
Pay for 30 years, which feels like forever. The only advantage I have over someone who doesn't have land ownership in terms of a title deed, someone who lives in communal land, is that I can go get a loan at a bank and put my house as surety. So do we want land ownership to get into debt, or do we want land ownership to liberate this country, as in all of us equal?
Okay, good point. Let's move on quickly.
No, it's fine.
I mean, the DEMECRA, to the DA, and let's hear what they have to say about land expropriation.
Those in favor will say aye. Those against will say no. I think the ayes have it.
Deputy Speaker,
yes.
We call for a division on this constitutional desecration.
There are no abstentions. There's 91 no's and there's 209 yeses.
The report is agreed to.
Okay, so that was the parliamentary vote, if I'm not mistaken. And we sort of heard John Steenhuisen get in there and start his shenanigans. But basically, the DA, I don't think it doesn't want land expropriation to happen. I think it's just against land expropriation without compensation. Yeah. So let's look at a few of their the way they're going to handle it, because they believe that they have the most successful land reform policy and they've done it the best out of everyone
in Western Cape.
Okay. So they say that the new recipients of state subsidized housing will receive full title, and past recipients of RDP homes will be given full title. I can agree with that to some level of extent. Let's start with the backlog, okay? We will make it cheaper for first-time buyers to purchase homes through lowering of transfer costs. You master that one, I think it's for you. We will distribute the thousands of government-owned farms and fallow land instead of treating emerging farmers as permanent tenants. We will give residents of tribunal land security of tenure that will piss off Kings Willetini. We will allocate adequate budgets to settle all remaining land distribution claims, and anyone who wants to farm will receive the support they need to be successful. I think it's quite practical. What do you guys think?
In their campaigns on land, they've used the issue of title deeds for home ownership, RDP houses and whatnot, as a sort of their campaigning tool and so on. Mm. I think I don't get why. I really don't get why.
They are missing the point.
It's when people say we were disposed of from our land, and your response is that, well, no, we'll give you title deeds. I mean,
they are failing to address the fundamental questions.
You know, they want to the status quo, but
remain.
To be more efficient than the ANC. So if you say we were removed on this particular piece of land, they say they can be efficient. Mm. And giving you back that piece of land. So what happens if your forefathers have died and there's no proof?
You know,
as with many cases.
Yeah,
that is.
So and where do they start? Which is their cut off? They don't say from which year do we consider the claims. Do they work with the current cut off time of the ANC, or will they do an investigation to say actually we will start from?
I can agree with that, because I remember at one of the land hearings there was an 85-year-old man who's fighting for his grandfather's land. So this goes back almost 100 years, and with still no avail, with still nothing happening.
Last week there was a story that came out of Mpumalanga of this woman whom the deputy president had built a house for her, like a proper house, but it was built in a farm because they've always lived at the farm, and the husband was the employee of the farm. When the husband died, the farm owner kicked her out and demolished the house, and now she lives in a shack. So I don't know how the DA aims to address the issue of land, of dispossession, of privilege among a few people who own land while everyone else is sitting on top of each other. I mean, you can't tell me what you're going to give me a title deed for an RTP house. How big is that land, Mjane? you can hear the neighbor cough there.
If you've been to a township called Nyanga in the Western Cape, there's an area called KTC. It's like they took the yard that you had for your shack, and then they built a house. So it's like if you buy a car, you don't know where to park,
you know.
So if I'm saying, okay, I will give you a title deed, and that's it.
To do what? Get into debt? A loan?
The other problem that I have with my problem with the TA, I mean, you know, all these things, as you were saying, that they are saying, they sound practical and all that, but I think the TA are missing the fundamental point of what this land thing is about. This land thing is not about me having a title deed to an RTP house, as Wusim was saying. That's absolute nonsense. I don't need an RTP house to begin with, because an RTP house, seriously, it's an insult, that thing.
It is.
But land is the economy, I mean.
Yeah.
Everything that drives our economy and any other country's economy is based on land. The minerals are exhumed from land. We plant on this land. We stay on this land. We breathe because of everything that happens on this land.
Even and
that,
the water, you know, everything.
So, I think that is the question that the DA are running away from. So, for me, for instance, these things of land claims to say you must be taken to exactly that land that used to live your forefathers, those things are difficult because those things were never documented. It will always be. That's why it takes forever. Like that, the land claims process that the ANC embarked on failed dismally. It's because those things, it will be difficult to prove. For me, we need to move to a point of saying we understand that in the in the colonial and apartheid government, people were dispossessed of their land, but we don't care where they were. But now to redistribute it properly and get everyone on equal ground in terms of the participation in the economy, we must bring people closer to, for instance, places that they work. It doesn't matter, even if my grandfather never stayed anywhere close to Joburg, but if I'm already here, I must be given land here in Joburg, you know, because I will never prove. I can't prove that my great-grandfather was staying where exactly, because there's no documentation to such. So I feel like the DA are failing to understand that, and I feel that is the direction we should move to make this land redistribution issue. But I insist on private property rights that must be protected. I don't want a government that owns land on my behalf, because it means then the people will never own land. If we say nationalized, the state owns the land, the people still don't own the land. And that for me brings uncertainty that I cannot survive with. I want to own my land and I don't want to be disturbed in my land. Private property rights must be respected at all times, but land must be redistributed.
Okay, Zimosa, let's end it off with you.
In terms of custodianship, I'm kind of 50-50 on the government and on the people. I don't trust the government, one. Two, I don't know how it would be done practically if ownership is to be given to people. But
how will have title deeds, Mchan? But for a proper land, how? Private property rights company, which we can't compromise.
You and me don't even have a house, so we pay rent somewhere.
Yes.
But I, like Humvumvu was saying, I know that my family was moved from a certain area in Lady Frey to
Arable land.
Yeah, arable land. So they were moved there and they were put in some rocks in some mountain by force, you know. So, but I don't want to go back to Lady Frey. I have no life there, you know. I want to be here. But ultimately, Amil, whatever route we choose, we should choose a route that is not going to fail like the previous processes. We should choose a route that will bring in true, real reform. And true real reform will be racial in terms of who owns the land, who doesn't own the land, who will benefit. Ultimately, if we are all active participants in the economy, not equally, that will never happen. It's a capitalist system. But if we are all given an opportunity to take part, this is going to go. It's going to grow the country. I don't see why it's a problem.
It's a benefit of everyone.
It's a benefit of everyone.
I sort of feel like we need a part two to this land debate.
Yeah, no,
there's so much more we could talk about. We could go on this for hours and hours. But guys, thank you so much for joining me this week. Maybe we'll throw in a bit of land for next week as well when we sit down again. But yeah, thanks for joining me, cheerios, guys. Thanks for listening. Please catch us again next week.
Before second term, time round, I must get that land there next
time.
You guys can't see.
Thanks everyone for listening in. Join us again next week, same time, same place. Have a good week. Cheers. Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.